under oath.
They don't actually need the recording. It's just to keep Kurt and I on track.
Yeah. You the man?
I think you're the man.
I'm the man. awesome prayer and a prayer of thankfulness for you guys to be here. Big deal. It's a Wednesday night, and if you're like me, an hour ago I was 40 miles away, and I'm telling you, it was like the Red Sea. I was saying, Lord, please, and I am so happy I'm sitting on this stool an hour later. Thanks for being here. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to Mark and I, to your leaders. It's a big deal to this church. Really, I don't know how we really kind of come together unless we come together in some kind of forum like this. Great testimony on, you know, it was time for you to kind of crank it up, and now you're leading. So thank you. Thank you on that. Tell them who you are, and then I'll tell them who I am.
I'm going to tell them who you are.
Okay. Okay, let's all leave.
This is Elder Beasley.
You can see by the
age.
Back
to you. Yeah. My name is Mark Bright. I'm the executive pastor at Grace Chapel, and basically what that means is I run all the day-to-day operations and the staff so that Steve can focus on what he needs to be doing, which is studying, praying, and meeting with folks. And so he doesn't get pulled into, and that's kind of reminiscent of the book of Acts when the apostles are together and there's this problem with some of the widows and the food distribution and the ministry that's going on, and they say, hey, let's appoint guys to handle that so that we can focus on what we need to do and not get pulled into those things. So kind of reminiscent of that. I've known Steve for 26 years. He and I were actually friends in California, and I attended his church there in California before he moved here. And then I went off to Bible college, and while I was there, he ditched me and moved out here. And during that time, we always talked about and kind of dreamed about working together, and I was involved with another ministry for 15 years in there. And just over 5 years ago, I got a call from Steve, and God had just released me literally days before from the ministry trip I was on before. And Steve said, hey, I need you to come out and take over the operation stuff. And so I jumped in and love every minute of it, almost every minute of it. but we got a great staff, we really do, and I'm going to tell you guys flat out, we function as a family. We look out for each other. We make sure that everybody's healthy. I've witnessed, so I'll put it in first person, I've witnessed too many churches chew up their staff and spit them out and just have them used up and spent, and their families are ruined, and they're, you know, they don't have any time with their spouses or their kids, and that's not going to happen as long as I'm here. Our staff's going to be healthy. They're going to, you know, have a balance of all of those things together in their own personal pursuit of Jesus being paramount. So anyway, that's just a word on it. I think you guys, if you were in our membership class, heard me say some variation of that, but that's at the core. We have to be healthy and in relationship with Jesus the right way, then our spouses, then our children, then the church, right? So anyway.
I can vouch, being a non-staff member, that all that is like super legitimate behind closed doors. I'm one of us, and so I've just had a chance to go behind the closed doors over this last year or so. I've been an elder, been here 6 years, got here right before Mark started, and so I've been an elder for a year or so, year and a half. And I can just say that the ministry that goes on, watching them minister to each other is really super exciting to me. Oh my gosh, we have Spider-Man, who's just
awesome.
This is.
He seems bigger in the movies, don't he?
Well, no, I don't know. He was awfully powerful. Awesome, awesome. Excited to be a part of this church. I know you guys all have individual stories on how you came here. Every time we get together, we hear a few more stories and just go, yeah, that's weird. Yeah, no wonder you showed up here. You know, we all have this kind of thing of, like me, I used to ride my motorcycle down South Hall probably for 2 years. And I don't know how it's possible to ride a motorcycle by a church this size and never look to my left and actually see it. You guys, you know, might have a parallel in your spiritual life. Well, that's kind of me at times in my spiritual life. I literally went up and down. You know, there's nothing better than riding a motorcycle out here. And I never looked over. And I was involved in ministry in a church, and amazing, had my community there. Lori was a part of that. And then we were teaching one Sunday, and it was awesome. It was wonderful. And as soon as the class was over, the Lord told me that was my last Sunday. And I said, that's crazy, because I'm not ready to leave. I have my whole identity here. This is my community. And he said, no. And so I told Teresa on the way to worship, I said, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I think we've been doing this 20 years. And so I don't know how to say this. I don't think we're going to go back in there if you're cool with that. And she's like, oh, okay, God is really up to something. And about 15 minutes into the worship service, God said, you're no longer going to be at the church. Now, I was pretty involved, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I just looked at Teresa, and she's like, oh, this is really going to be interesting. So for some reason, that day, I just had to say yes. And I know you all have similar stories, but I don't know if I know you have a story like this. You probably moved here from someplace, but to leave my community was not something I would ever do. You know, things were going great. I loved everyone. The people there were going to be the ones who would come to my funeral and come to the next wedding of my daughter. And we said yes, talked to the pastor. He was cool. And the next Saturday night, my daughter in Chicago, I think, called and said, what's up with the deal? What happened? And I said, I don't know, man. Where are you going tomorrow? And I said, we don't know. We haven't been anywhere in 20 years. We've been happy. She said, you ought to try Grace Chapel. I said, Grace Chapel, where's that? Well, it's like 10 minutes from where we live, Dad. And I said, well, it's South Hall. And well, you know, I came down that next morning and sat in the back. I know that you probably have warmed that seat with me in the back to the right. We were on the very back row, walked in, had not been in a new church in a long time. So I didn't know anyone here. And 15 minutes into it, yeah, I said, Lord, I just cannot believe how good you are. There's no way. And so we've been here ever since. And God has just blessed that simple act of obedience, right? Doesn't he do that? Mm-hmm. And we can have an amen in here tonight if you'd like. This is all together. It's like, amen. Yeah. We're going to talk tonight about, we're going to be in your second session. It's God's voice and God's word. If you've got any notes, could you turn to that right now? And it's our charge to kind of fill in some blanks, and we're going to do our best to really give you the answers to the blanks. Whoever gets there first, would you just tell me you're there and tell me, yes, you do have blanks that need to be... All right, so they're cool. We good? Try to get there. We have any more? Do we have any more of those at all?
What do you need?
You don't have one, do you?
I have to say that I abandoned my wife tonight. I couldn't make it back to Columbia and back here on time with both of us. So she's coming Sunday.
Yeah.
And all our stuff is at home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Notes?
Do you have that? That God's voice, God's word, God's voice, whatever that says. And at least you can kind of look at it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What we want to do, we can't get through all this, and you don't want us to get through each point. You can read that on your own. It's a great, great lesson to start with. It's kind of a companion lesson we do an amazing lesson here on the Holy Spirit. So it kind of dovetails with that. Mark and I are not going to, we're going to hit some highlights. I want you guys to call time out and just... You know, we can't discuss a long time, but I want you to feel free to just go, whoa, whoa, I didn't get that. We cool?
Yeah, just want to step into this and say that how many of you guys have been through the series that Steve just been doing did you guys hear the Rhema message? Everybody? Anybody? Who didn't hear that message? Okay, it gives me some framework. Did you guys hear the Don Finto message from this last week? Anybody miss that? Okay. Yeah. So you guys got one or the other parts of those things, and so it's really good footing for us to come in on. And the first thing is this: if you all don't decide right now in your mind that it's an absolute essential to hear and be able to discern God's voice, good on you, but you might as well just go for a walk or do something else tonight. If you think it's absolutely essential and you have to hear it, and if you are hearing it, you want to hear it more, then great, then we're on the right track. But you've got to kind of open up that mental path. You've got to start thinking that way and going, okay, this is what we're after. If I can put it this way, you're going to get in what you put in. You're going to get out what you put in. So if you come to this message right now and you go, okay, I want to hear, I want to know, I want to understand maybe something I don't know before, and maybe you're going to know everything that we're going to say, but you'll learn how to express it so you can share it with somebody else in a different way. And so I'm just asking you guys to lean in with us, and even if you just pick up a little nugget here or there, let's make it productive.
Good, good. Let's start with the very first. On page one, it says, God is still speaking. And what I want us to do, you guys, be with me here. I want us to engage together at the very top of the lesson. We'll probably disengage a little bit and get some blanks filled. But I want you to think, because hearing God's voice, I think we're going to hear, and maybe if you disagree, tell me I'm wrong. I think we're going to hear that you have to engage at some level to hear God's voice. And so I think we've got some proof coming right out of the gate. God is still speaking. What's that first verse? It says in Psalms 46:10. Has anyone ever heard that verse? Someone read that. Just what's your notes say? 46:10.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Right there, engagement, right? That's an engagement on my part. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Everyone's heard that verse. Do you remember in Mark 4 where Jesus is in the boat and the guys are freaking out because the storm has hit them? And you remember what he said, Jesus said to the storm? Do you remember? He said, be still. He said it in the same tone, in the same force as in Psalms 46:10. It's not a be still and know I'm God. It is a shouting, be still and know that I'm God. Does anybody want to say amen that we need to hear that? I mean, I've got to hear loud and clear tonight that for me to hear God's voice, I've got to engage. And right out of the chute, my engagement is, be still. Be still. How are you still? What's an example of a mark still?
I got to put everything aside. I got to get rid of the cell phone and the computer and all that stuff and just literally push it aside. And the best place for me to do that is in the morning before everybody else is kind of up and around. And, you know, I think a lot of times that's why the Word speaks about kind of connecting with God in the morning, because it's not a lot of other stuff that's happening. Problems haven't crawled their way into my brain pan. There's not other things pushing it, and I can have that kind of dedicated time in the morning. And so before I turn my phone on, before I do those things, I spend some time praying, and I have a routine I do every morning, but I'm praying it through that, and then I sit and read the Word. And sometimes it's a chapter, sometimes it's three, sometimes it's just until I feel like there's this cool little insight or this little connection, almost like tune in your supernatural, your spiritual radio into God's frequency, you know? And so I want to get that tuned in before I go out of my door in the morning. And so sometimes that takes longer than other times. And, you know, sometimes I start getting a little static during the day and I got to kind of, you know, tune it back in and find that spot again. But, yeah.
Does that resonate with you? And I know, again, we've all heard the verse. And so I'm with you. I'm reading it again to freshly engage. But I want it to be loud and clear to us if there's any verse tonight. How about it be this verse? Because that's what was intended. A shout of be still. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Be still and know that I'm God. And Mark had, we talked about his routine that gets him. You know, sometimes we have to do this in the middle of the chaos of the day, don't we? And that's when we just need to remember. The next engagement verse is right behind that. It's Proverbs 8, 34, 35. We're going to read this together. Listen to what it says. And I want you to point out, what are the engaging words in this Proverbs? It says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Listen to the promise. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. All right, we're going to get going, but I want us to just sit there just for a second. To engage, he says, blessed is the man who listens. Blessed is the man who watches. And blessed is the man who waits. Is that easy to do? Is anybody going to be honest? Is that easy to do? Yeah. When the chaos of life is hitting us, or just life itself, listening, watching, and waiting is probably number 7. And I want us to hear that. I want to hear this tonight. Okay. You want to do some blanks, or you want me to do them?
You can do them.
Okay. All right, let's fill in some blanks. Number 1, and this is all good. The good news is that God does speak. God does speak. This is the great distinction of the Christian faith. So you just take a gander at these notes that you've got, which are real good. God does listen. The good news is that God does speak. Number 2, Jesus affirmed the reality that God speaks. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, right before he told him, you remember in the verse where he says to Timothy, you've not been given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and control. And right before that, he says something to Timothy. He says, Timothy, remember to stir what's inside of you. Stir. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that was imparted. That's the same He, the Holy Spirit, that we have. And Paul said, remember to stir the Holy Spirit. That's listening, that's waiting and watching, right? Okay. Number 3. Speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. Specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says in John 14, which I think Pastor Finto talked about 14 and 15 this last weekend, he will teach you and bring to your remembrance. Chapter 14, very powerful about the Holy Spirit. Everybody okay? I mean, if you're hung on something, just say I'm hung and I'm hung. So we're gonna buzz through, but we also want to stop. Hey,
come on,
Dave.
Come on. Crazy accident out there, huh?
Yeah.
They brought you around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, number 4. God wants to speak to us today. God wants to speak to us today. My goodness. Amen to that. God wants to speak to us today. Number 3, speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's an interesting thing. Speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that means that Holy Spirit that's been deposited in our lives, if we've accepted Christ, you know, all of us, if we've said yes to Him, committed our lives to Him, that the Holy Spirit, He has been deposited into our life. And He says a specific purpose of the Holy Spirit is to speak to us. You know, the Holy Spirit listens to what God has to say, and He comes and talks, tells us, right? He's an interceder. How often, I mean, Pastor Steve's tried to hammer in our heads how important He, the Holy Spirit, is. And how often we just seem to, don't we kind of just push Him aside? But just think, this is tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. We can know a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit who resides in us is to speak. Anybody got any examples of the Holy Spirit speaking to them? Yeah.
Let me ask you, Kurt. Yeah. When you were, obviously you got a word like that in the Spirit when you left that church,
yeah.
Abruptly like that.
Yeah.
And it looked to some people probably looked a little weird, a little crazy.
Big time.
A little jump the gun-ish, maybe.
Big time.
So what God, Holy Spirit spoke, can you explain that? I mean, I experienced you didn't hear an audible voice.
Right.
How did it happen?
Yeah, it's you know, that's like this describing a color. I know one thing, when in my relationship with the Lord, if I don't act now, it's gone. And I just knew because first of all, I knew it was against my flesh.
Right, you weren't coming up with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great distinction.
Yeah.
It was not some harebrained idea to make myself look good.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I was seeking comfort. I was getting nothing for this decision. I'm not saying that's the criteria.
Right.
At all.
But you better check if it benefits you. Yeah.
And so I know you know what I mean, but I just knew. And man, if I didn't have a wife who confirmed and said, I mean, Lori knows her. Her look was, oh. Now, she's not happy, but it was, oh, here we go. Instead of, oh crap, you're not doing this, you know. And I would, if she'd have said that, I would have, you know, I'm righteous and all, but I'm not going against what she wants. No, I'm following God, but you know, maybe not that day. So I know, you know what I mean, and I wish I was better on explaining it. But
no, that's good. I just I've experienced that.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. That's good.
Yeah. How many of y'all know the story of Samuel? I mean, does everybody, if I talk about Samuel, do we have a framework? I'm trying to push against here. Do you guys remember Samuel's growing up as a young man? He's been given over to Eli. Eli's the priest and the known man of God in the entire country at that time. And Samuel hears this voice wake him up in the middle of the night. Everybody with me? Who does he think it is?
Eli.
But it's not Eli, is it? It's God. And he goes through this, and here's God two more times, right? God's calling him, and the additional two times, again, he thinks it sounds like Eli. And so Eli has to then redirect him and say, hey, no, look, when you go back, say, here I am, Lord. You know, and then he responds that way, and then God engages with him. So here's my point. When you're first beginning to hear God's voice, it's probably going to sound similar to somebody you've been mentored under or studied under or somebody that you've received something from the Lord from. It's going to sound similar to that. It's Eli and Samuel. You know, and it's up to the people that are directing us then to say, hey, no, that's the Lord. Like, no, that's the Lord. Now transfer that and, you know, have that conversation directly with him. And a lot of times I feel like God's voice in me sounds like me, but it feels very different.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Good point.
Like the conscious thought is coming, feels like it's comes from the same path, the same, but there's definitely a testimony of a different feeling around it when it comes, but it doesn't sound necessarily different. It's the testimony and the word, the conceptual words together that really clarify a lot of times for me. You know, and then usually if it's something of significance, I'm praying that through. I'm talking to other people that I trust in the Lord about that. Mm-hmm. I'm working that through. It's not just, you know, jump,
right.
You know.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Good. I was on the plane the other night from Dallas, and the Lord told me to tell the person next to me, she was reading a document, and I said, if you need help with that document, I can help you. I thought, Lord, I'm not going to tell this intelligent person next to me. And I had to because I knew it wasn't me. I said, hey, I can help you with that. And she said, you have no idea what it is. I said, I know. And we talked the rest of the way. And I told her exactly why I said that to her. She said, like, that was, like, not rude, but that was dumb or something. I said, I know. So I'm not at all saying that's part of the equation. All right. Chad, do you have any idea where we dropped off? What's your last?
God wants to speak today. God speaks differently.
We're at five. God speaks in different general ways. Perfect for us in here. There is no telling how different he talks to us. If we took a poll, he may talk to you on the beach. He may talk to you on a motorcycle. He may talk to you in church. Isn't that awesome? He talks your language, not his. Isn't that awesome? Okay, 6, God speaks in different specific ways. And you have a great list of different specific ways. We see audible voice, angelic revelation. All right, some of you guys are Southern Baptists like me, so I know you're going, am I in the wrong church? It's true. It's true. I haven't participated in some of this, but it's true. Impressions, pictures. Anybody ever receive pictures? Yeah, good. You have, Lori? Mm-hmm. I don't receive pictures.
God showed me how to paint a painting specifically from him.
Perfect. Perfect.
Cool.
Visions, trance.
Is that a dangerous word for anybody? Trance? Is that a dangerous word? Anybody? Except for it's in the word.
Just a word. Yeah.
Right?
With all the stuff going on today, it is.
Yeah.
But it said Peter went into a trance and he had this thing lowered down to him and he's seeing animals and crazy stuff and what are you talking about? And the animals had nothing to do with it. Right? Go share the gospel with these Gentile guys. Yeah. And God's going to bring a sheet and show them animals while he's in a trance.
It's true.
Does it still happen today? According to the scripture, it still happens today. And I'll bet you someone in here has a testimony of that. Yes, ma'am.
Can I share a story?
Yes, ma'am.
My husband passed away May 3rd this year. And throughout the experience, the one word that God gave me was trust. Trust in me, and I will take care of you. But I was called to the nursing home that there had been a change in him. And we were preparing to bring him home, to take care of him at home. And his speech had happened, and they thought he had had a fall. Anyway, I went down to the nursing home at lunchtime and went in and just comforted him. Could not understand too much of what he was saying because it was slurred. I shaved him because they had not done that yet. We were waiting for the ambulance to come to take him to the hospital for a CAT scan. And I was just sitting there rubbing his leg and comforted him, talking to him, praying. And all of a sudden, he opened up his eyes and he said, "Look." Hmm. And I said, "What do you see?" "I don't see anything." And he said, "Star." And I said, "Okay, star." He had trouble with getting his hands to his face, but he, with great trouble, he brought his hands together in a spear shape. And I said, "Okay, Lord, what is he trying to tell me?" Mm. A bright light, a sphere, maybe the size of a person's head. And I said, "Gerald Hall, are you telling me you see Jesus Christ?" He said, "Yes, I am."
Come on.
And I took him by the hands and I said, "Don't you take your eyes off of him." And then I laid down beside him, put my head on his shoulder, and went to kiss him on the cheek. And at the same time, he turned to me and kissed me good and hard on the lips.
Jesus!
Totally relaxed. That was the last encounter that anybody had with him. When we got to the hospital, he was in a deep coma and was brain dead.
Wow. Beverly.
That was God's.
Thank you, Lord, huh?
Yeah.
That's an amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's an amen. Beverly, we join with you in your sorrow, but also with the praise. So, yeah.
I don't know.
I was able to comfort the neurosurgeon when he came in.
That's awesome.
Wonderful.
He came in to tell me he was sorry, and I said, no.
Yep.
I said, yeah. I know where my husband is.
Wonderful. Mm. Wonderful. Thank you.
He
speaks through scriptures. That's the last... And we all know that. And it says a verse comes to life and you know that its content was meant specifically for you, as if someone had spoken the same thing to you. And I just need more of that. You know, I need to engage a little bit more. If I'll engage, listen, wait, press in, He'll reveal himself more to me. Okay. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, let's do that God's word part, and then I'll jump off into some of the stuff we're going to talk about.
Okay. Next section. I think we need to really, really make sure we remember this, especially in these days. God's word is the standard. Do we need that? We're just we're just vacillating all over the place, and we're all doing our best to witness, and we're asking God to give us direction, but sometimes we just get off on, you know, I've got a particular friend or an acquaintance somewhat who clearly is living in a life of away from God right now, and I'm having multiple encounters with him and multiple opportunities to somehow say to him, God's standard is this. I love you, but God's standard is this. And you know what? How it's sometimes difficult to balance that. I love you, but God says this. So, number one, God's word is the divine expression of God. Expression. Next page. Number two. God's word upholds all things. Upholds. Number three, God's word is profitable for knowing the Father. Next, the word of God is truth. We need to stand on that. We just have got to stand on the word of God as truth. And I love number five. The word of God is alive and powerful. There's just something in the name of Jesus, isn't there? There's just something in the name Jesus. Six, God's word stands forever. Seven, God's word causes us to be born again. I hate just reading these.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe all these two.
Yeah, we can count.
Number nine, God's word is inerrant. It's I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T. I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T.
Y'all know what that means? It means without error. It's just a theological term. Inerrant means without error. And typically when that term is used, it's referring to not the translations that are sitting in your lap, but the original documents as they were received in Greek. You know what I mean? So there may be things that are translated into English that don't perfectly translate. There's not words that necessarily match up word for word, and so we get an approximation. So.
Number 10, God's word is reliable. So when you go to Hebrews and you read when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's God's word, right? That's God's word saying, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So those words are reliable. When he says, I am the author and finisher of your faith, I'm it, that's reliable. We need these, right? Yes, ma'am.
Number eight.
Eight is God's word causes us to grow. Yeah. God's word is reliable. Anybody want to take a... I mean, what does that mean to you, that God's word is reliable? What does it mean to you?
Unchanging.
Unchanging? Man, I mean, what can you trust anymore? You know, we can put our trust in his word, in his promises. You know, he's on the boat. The storm is brewing. The disciples are acting like me. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't you believe? That's the word. That's his word. That's the word for us in whatever storm we're in. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't you believe? Sometimes that's all it takes for me to go, you good?
Yep.
I'll do that. Leaven is God's word is attested to be God's word, which means it's been proven. I'm a lawyer, and so we do a lot of attesting, and it means God's word has been verified, attested, it's truthful, it's the deal, we can rely on it.
All right, we're going to shift gears for just a minute. I want to ask you guys some questions that I want you to answer. I actually don't want it just to be just a question. Do you guys know that God has a personality? Is that new information for anybody? Or maybe you just haven't thought about that or thought about that in depth, that God has a personality. Is that weird for anybody?
Well, both being weird to me is personality, human personality. So is that what you mean?
I mean, he has a personality. There's things that make him smile. There's things that make him sad. There's things that he is incredibly joyous about. There's things that he gets frustrated about. There's things that... Like, he has a personality.
Emotions. He has humor.
Emotion is a response. Personality is a core thing. Like he has a personality, yeah. Right? And it's just something that really I don't know that we spend a lot of time thinking about or realizing. Now, we can look at, so we're the Imago Dei, made in God's image. So now the question is, how much of that is tainted by the fall, right? Like, how much of our personality is tainted by the fall? Does God get angry? Anybody?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is God vengeful?
Yes.
Is God bringing judgment?
Yes.
Does God love peace?
Yes.
Is God forgiving?
Yes.
All of those things are true, right?
Yeah.
But in different times and in different ways and different things, he responds completely differently. I want to read you guys a proverb if you want to pull it up. This is Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Now here's the next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So which one is it? Anybody?
Yes.
Right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
Steps one, winner.
Yeah. So really, there's actually a time and a place for each one of those answers. And if you just take the word at its neutral and try to figure it out, you're going to be stuck because sometimes God's saying, hey, don't do that. There's a proverb that says, if you see two men arguing and you go and stick your nose into it, you're like a man who takes a dog by an ear. You're going to get bit. And this is in Proverbs. And yet other times he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I came to bring peace. And he also said, I came to bring a sword. And so it's really about what is God doing in that moment and what is he speaking in that moment. So I want to give you an example of this. You know, it says in Timothy that we rightly divide the word of truth, or he's charging him, rightfully divide the word of truth, which means there's a wrong way to do it, right? You guys know what Coumadin is? Coumadin is a blood-thinning medicine that they typically give people that have heart conditions. And there's a medicine called Factor VIII. Factor VIII is kind of the antithesis of Coumadin. Factor VIII is what they use to have hemophiliacs blood clot. So if you're a hemophiliac, you're bleeding out, you do Factor VIII, which is heavy in vitamin K, causes the blood clot. So if I've got a friend who's coming to me and saying, man, you know, I'm sleeping with somebody who's not my wife, and I don't really care, and yeah, my kids don't like it, and whatever, but, you know, I don't think that God cares, and I don't have a problem with it. And if I say to him in that moment, and I quote Romans, neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities shall separate you from the love of God. Is that true? But I just gave blood thinner to a hemophiliac. Right? Now he's going to bleed out, you know. If I take Hebrews and it says, man, if you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and you work in rebellion and you harden your heart, you will turn away from the living God. And that's what Hebrews says. Sin deceives you. It lies to you. Okay, now I've given him the right medicine. I've given him that's going to stop the bleeding. So it's about applying and knowing what God is doing and using his word in the right setting in the right moment. And sometimes what God is doing is really counterintuitive. Anybody ever experienced that? So I'm going to give you guys two storylines in the Word. One of them is, I'm going to give you a story, and then we'll connect it to this. If I charge you guys right now to go take 12 junior high kids and to take them out and have a little trust fall experience on the back of the property here, you're going to climb up on a pole, and he's going to lean back and fall, and you know you're going to catch, the kids are going to catch them. And you guys took those 12 kids back there, and one by one, each of the kids just kind of couldn't get there, wouldn't do it, wouldn't climb up the pole. They were scared. They backed off, and you finally came to the last kid. Let's call him Jason. You kind of got to Jason. And Jason said, hey, I'll do it. I'll give it a try. None of the other kids have been on the pole. They haven't climbed at all. And Jason gets on that thing, and quivering, he makes his way up to the third, the fourth, the fifth. He's 6 feet off the ground now to the fifth rung. But he can't get himself to step out on the platform. He can't do it. He ultimately, no matter how much you've encouraged him, steps back down, comes back down the ladder, and comes back to meet you in the group of people that's sitting there. What are you going to say to him in that moment with all those other kids around? Anybody?
Good try.
Good try? Mm-hmm. What else?
Spider-Man would have done it.
Anybody else got anything?
He would have taken, I mean, he was taking a step of faith.
Right. So he tried.
He tried.
So would the general response be to try to encourage him for what he did do in the midst of all that? Yes? Okay. I agree. And yet, when Peter gets back into the boat after having walked on the water and none of those other guys did, what does he say to him? Why did you doubt? Why did you lose faith? A rebuke, a correction, a challenge in the midst of that, in front of the other guys. Not words of affirmation and encouragement in the midst of that.
But they are words of encouragement. Don't take your eyes off of me, Peter.
I doubt that he felt that way in that moment. I think we could see that as a third person because we know the scripture and the storyline. I don't think he felt that right then. Surely with all the other guys looking on too, like, hey, can I get an attaboy? I mean, come on, man, I tried, you know?
So he's basically saying, I don't care about human standards. I care about my standard here.
No, I'm going to give you another story, and then I'm going to pull them together. So let me give you one more story, and I'll pull them together. So you guys know this storyline. James and John, having just gone out and sent the 70, they're all coming back together now, and they start having an argument about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You guys know the storyline. They're arguing with each other, and, you know, Jesus catches wind of it, right? And so Jesus then says to them, hey, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom, be the servant of all. Like, don't rule over people like this, and don't, you know, as the Gentiles do, and blah, 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 and that's, you know. Except for that's not what he says. What he says is, can you drink the cup that I can drink? And they go, yeah, we can drink it. And he goes, well, actually, you are going to drink the cup that I'm going to drink. And he gives them a prophecy about the fact that they're going to die for their faith in the future. And then later on, he does some corrective stuff on there. But in that moment, in front of all those guys, he doesn't actually go right at it. He tells them about a future prophecy about how they're going to die for their faith. And I struggle with those two things because they seem counterintuitive to me for a long time. And praying and reading and coming back around on that and then getting my butt kicked, I felt like God said very clearly to me, this is the situation. When you're humble or you're humbled, you're teachable. And in that moment, I can teach you. When you're prideful and you're haughty, I'm not going to speak to you and teach you because you're not going to receive it. And so I'm not going to speak in that moment. And that really is how those two storylines play out. Hmm. You know, in Peter's moment, he's humbled. He needed to get pulled back in the water. He panicked. And Jesus is encouraging him to step in more. And ultimately, the elliptical comes back around. It is an encouragement long term. But, you know, it felt like a challenge in that moment. And with these guys, Jesus doesn't go right at James and John. He takes them down some future prophecy wrote about them dying for their faith, which they don't even think Jesus is going to die. You know what I mean? At this point, they're not even thinking that. So what are you talking about? Yeah.
Good. So,
anyway, the point is just God just does really different things, and we can't presume or think that we know what it is. And to the extent that we understand that he has a character, personality, and nature, and he interacts with us all differently, and that's one of the points and the first thing that we made, that God speaks the singular experience of each believer is the sentence underneath that in your book. The singular experience of each believer. I've got four kids, and I father every single one of my kids differently. Because I know with my daughter Summer, a little bit of a raised eyebrow and a cocked head, and she's on a puddle on the floor. You know what I mean? Where my boy Noah, I got to get pretty loud and you know, get his attention. And so I wouldn't use that same tactic in reverse order with them, because that's not what they need.
Good. Last part. We're finished. Get these last. Receive God's word. Number one, God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to his voice. Thank you, Lord. And then number two, position yourself to hear God's word. And the verse is, blessed are the pure in heart, which is a clean heart, for they shall see God. And that's it. That's all the blanks. Very good? Very good.
Awesome. I think what we're going to do now is these guys are going to take a break. We're going to break up into small groups, like three or four people, and spouses, if you can split up and all of that. What we want to do is see how God spoke to you in what way today, and kind of come up with one question for each group. And then we're going to bring them back in, and we'll have time for questions and answers after that. So if you can, just kind of mix it all up, maybe cross the aisles and all that stuff, and we'll go from there.